Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made mistakes. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks, welcome to the Daytona Applebee's edition.
That's right.
We are your unrefined number one motorsports podcast in America, apparently.
That's right.
I am Brian with Rob and Ashley, as always. Folks, the week is finally here. How we doing?
Feeling good. On top of the world. Number one, in fact, as you just said. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ashley, this is... What about you?
How does it feel to be number one?
It feels good. I feel like a superstar.
Yeah. Well, you are actually going to be a superstar this week, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
What are you doing? You gotta tell
us. We're talking about that now.
Yeah, let's just leave this plug it.
Apparently, I'm going to Charlotte on Thursday to film something for Fox for their Daytona 500 pre-race stuff. So
that's right.
I'll be sure to screen cap that and post that on our feed second.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah, within seconds. Yeah, we'll be taken down by Fox copyright department immediately.
Yeah, so if y'all think I'm awkward on here, just wait until you see me in front of a camera.
I guess we'll save what it's all about for when it's actually on television. But that's cool. We're looking forward to seeing you on the big screen down here in Scooters. And that's going to be a lot of fun for you. You got any more plans while you're in Charlotte? You going to the Beaver? You going to see any shops?
No, I'm just going straight there and straight back. I mean, I'll crash on Jay's couch that night.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
Friend of the program.
Coming straight back home that next morning.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. So. Well, Brian, you also, you got into some cool shit this week, didn't you?
Just a tiny bit. I ended up getting my hands on an Ernie Irvin door. You know, I'm not really much of a sheet metal guy, but because that shit's expensive, it takes up a lot of space and all that. But I've been wanting an Ernie Irvin, especially an Ernie 28 piece for a long time. And this one just happened to stumble across my radar. I missed buying it outright by like 3 minutes. Like it was literally the dude that I got it from posted it. He didn't realize that like people have been searching for this stuff for a long time, because anytime anything of Ernie's or the 28 car goes up, it's gone immediately.
Right. Yeah.
So I missed out on it just straight paying cash for it. So I had to kind of do some negotiating. Yeah. Like the dude who had it.
Remember, we're number one right now, but anything you say right now could knock us off that top spot.
It's yeah, the dude who had it, I'd done a little bit of business with before, so he wanted to get it to me, and when I offered him...
Unless I'm not your first date.
I missed, what the hell was the joke you guys made?
You said you had to do some favors to get this.
Yeah.
And then it's
no, I said I said finagling, not favors. There were no favors.
Maybe, I'm not through favors.
Six of one, half dozen the other, my friend.
No. I more or less had to virtually steal it out of somebody else's hands. The dude insisted on selling it to the first guy, but when I offered up my Kyle Petty hood as a trade... he made it happen for me. So he ended up coming up from Southern Ohio and meeting at my antique mall and doing the exchange. And we ended up talking for like a good 2 hours in the parking lot, just about all sorts of shit, like short track racing. And
that's cool.
You know, collecting stories and that type of stuff. And in the middle of this conversation in a parking lot with two guys with pieces of cars, this older guy kind of spots us. It standing there and comes over. He's like, "You guys buying NASCAR shit? I got a barn full of it I'm trying to get rid of." So I got that contact and haven't gone over there to see what's there yet. But I'll probably try to get there in the next few days and see what I can find. So
nice.
That was my Friday. That was really my big racing story. Friend of the show, Dylan, invited me to go up to Fremont to see him race go-karts on Sunday, which it was too cold for my ass. Mm-hmm. He ended up winning his second Snowball Derby in a year, though, so congrats to him.
Nice. That's nice. Awesome. Well, and congrats on the sheet metal piece. That's fucking awesome to come across something like that.
Yeah,
those Ernie pieces are tough too, or they're really fucking expensive. I know that. So.
Yeah, I mean a 28 piece itself, like from Ernie's year, like never comes up. I don't think I've seen one for sale. At least in 4 or 5 years.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna mount it on the wall? Are you gonna?
Yeah, it's just gonna get next to it. Just gonna. I'm actually gonna put it in my bedroom, I think, because like it's one of the few places in my house where I don't have anything hanging up. So yeah, it's actually I gotta figure out how to get it up there, but. Yeah, that's
some drywall anchors, buddy. That's all it takes. But
yeah, I just got to get heavier ones. So
that's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, though, there was some racing going on and some racing news. So I guess we should get into the heart of the show here.
Absolutely. But before we get too far into this, I do want to have some sad news here. I just want to shine a light on Ryan Young, of course, Indulsal Designs. I think that's how you say it, Indulsal Art. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize. But a renowned helmet painter. He's done lids for Daniel Suarez, Kyle Larson, pretty much the entire dirt world. If you've never heard of this guy, you've seen his work. I can assure you that much. Unfortunately, he passed away this past week, and I know a lot of people are really broken up about that. So our thoughts and prayers with his family. He was a really cool dude, from what I gather. He was always a degree away from me. You never got a chance to meet him, but and it's a shame that I won't get to. But do yourself a favor and go by the page on Instagram, Indulsal Art, IndocilArt, I believe is what the account is. If not, it'll pop up if you put some amalgamation of that in there. And check out his work, because he really did some beautiful work. And I don't know if there's any sort of GoFundMe or any fundraising being done, but if there is, I'll be sure to mention that on the show or post it on our page to support him and his family. But another good one gone. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But yeah, there was a lot of racing on this weekend. I don't know if you guys got to watch Flow Meltdown, but
yeah, I didn't get to watch any racing this weekend. Fucked so up. I'm just here. I'm here to learn.
So
from
much.
You.
So much racing. Where do you want to start, Brian?
I watched a good amount. But it was just so difficult to keep track of everything because there's so many fucking races going on. I mean, I watched a good amount of sprint car stuff and some late models, and I kept wanting to try to find the big block modifieds, which I didn't get to see any of, but I think they're running East Bay tonight, maybe? I can't remember. I saw on one of the pages they're running again tonight somewhere, so I'm going
to
try to catch that.
Well, Highland is at East Bay right now as we speak, okay. But I think later in the week that's where they're going. Again, there's so much racing happening in Florida right now, and one thing I'm kind of bummed about, and I think we may have even mentioned this on the show when this got announced last year, I think, but there was a huge drag racing show at Bradenton, which yeah. It wasn't the usual, you know, 8 a.m. start time, you know, guys racing their Mustangs on a quarter mile. It was like the NHRA guys were out there, and they're doing match races between top fuel dragsters and funny cars. Like, all the big teams were there, and I think probably the big headline of the weekend was the world record for 1,000 feet being broken. Bob Tasca III hitting 341.6 miles an hour. I will post the link to this in the show description. It's a fucking insane looking run. And by the way, he broke that record by breaking his own record from the night prior. And I want to say that I think Antron Brown also broke the top fuel record too. So they're just a fast fucking drag strip. But it was really odd to see all these cars without the NHRA branding anywhere. It was a completely independent show. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sad that I fucking missed this because it looked awesome.
So a brief follow-up to last week. One, I checked out the Bubba the Love Sponge video and absolutely loved it. And
isn't he so good at talking about racing?
That's the thing. I want nothing to do with any of his non-racing content, but the couple racing podcasts I listened to were awesome, like just so knowledgeable and like, you know, just the right amount of comedy and a tiny, tiny shade of blue to it, but at the same time, like, totally listenable by most people. And, you know, say what you will about Bubba, but he knows his shit. But this isn't about that. The second interview that I watched was Tony Stewart, and obviously they talked a lot about his drag racing stuff, and it seems like he was involved in this, and it almost kind of seemed like a high limit, like like a drag racing version of High Limit, where it's like a special event type deal.
You know,
that's what it seemed like.
It definitely was. I don't know much about the drag racing world and the politics around it and all that. If there was any sort of response to the NHRA and the way they run business,
it doesn't seem like it. No, it's more. This seems like just its own thing.
But like I said, I've never seen an event of this stature with these cars without NHRA branding. So it was pretty. It was awesome from what I can tell. And all the highlights are on YouTube. So if you don't have a Flow subscription or if you didn't request the link, which, by the way, some of you reached out and I hope you took advantage. And all the people that did get the link, they had some kind words to say about the show. So thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. I don't know if they're just saying that because they got basically the keys to the kingdom. But I do appreciate
it. Mike was very impressed. He hit me up and was telling me. He was like, because any other bootleg sites we use for like wrestling or other shit, there's always like all sorts of porno pop-ups and this, that, and the other thing. And our site is perfect. All you gotta do is click that button. You're good to go.
Yeah, it's good. But for all the actual paying subscribers, the flow went down. And honestly, it handled it really well. It was up on YouTube within a matter of minutes. All of the events were live in their entirety on YouTube for the remainder of the night too, I believe, once they got it restored on Flow. But, you know, people still demanding refunds. I can't fucking believe I paid for this. Well, it's like, shut the fuck up, bro. It's shit happens, you know? And when you run literally, like, 5 or 6 major events in a single night, something's bound to happen at some point. But when Flow does stretch their coverage out, this is one criticism I have, especially with the Florence race and with the NASCAR modified race as well, which, by the way, congrats to Ron Silk for picking up where he left off last year. Picking up a win there. The camera guys are just, they miss a lot. So somebody needs to send them like a YouTube video on who the leader of a race is and maybe get him like race monitor or something, because we got to watch Melissa Fifield crossing the line as Ron Silk took the win, and she didn't win that race at all. So, and the Florence race was a bit of a mess but as well. But hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, I got to see it. In some form.
You had to bring in the NASCAR on Fox B team.
That's right. And fuck, I miss the finish when I'm at the racetrack half the time anyway, because I'm like off staring at something. So it felt like being at the racetrack. But
okay, this makes total sense to me now, because I did try to watch the last part of the cars race. And I thought it was just my feed was fucked up. I didn't realize it was a Flow thing.
Well, I don't know if I call it a Flow thing or not necessarily, but you know how they work. They have individual guys at the tracks they subcontract to. So maybe you're not always getting the best guys and the best direction. I don't know. The coverage was still there. It was cool to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. have a good run, too. Carson Quaffle, of course, won the race, and Dale ended up finishing third, I believe. So that was fun to watch him scoot through the field. Florence is a cool racetrack, too. But, yeah, just so much racing this weekend. And again, Flo is really good about posting all their highlights, as is the World of Outlaws and Dirt Vision on YouTube. So if you missed anything, you can kind of Google what you wanted to see, and you can at least see highlights of everything. And boy, there were some good ones. We'll get to that in a second. The World of Outlaws race at Volusia, all of them were great. But Friday night in particular, with Tyler Courtney just nipping Rico Abreu at the 11th hour, right at the line. Race
that's
of the week.
I am
100% posting a link to that so you guys can see it. That is some of the best sprint car racing you're ever going to see. It was fucking awesome. And every race at Volusia with the World of Outlaws was awesome. Even though the High Limit guys kind of came in and stomped them a little bit. The shows will look a little different as the year moves on and the shows sort of protract across the country. And High Limit is firing up, which I'm actually watching that over the corner of my eye right now. Because they got rained out last night. More on that in a second. But, yeah, please, I'll put this little feeler out to you guys, the listeners. If you want to watch this stuff and you're not ready to pay for these subscriptions, hit us up again. I'll send you the link. I'm not kidding. This is an important week of racing. And we'll have NASCAR tonight, actually, if you're listening to this. NASCAR qualifying, Wednesday night. It's here. Daytona 500 is about to happen, but there's so much happening throughout the week. The World Series of Asphalt Racing at New Smyrna is happening right now, too. A lot of NASCAR guys there, if you're into that. It's just so much shit. So ask us for the link. I'll send it to you. You don't have to tell me you like the show if you don't really like it. I'll just send it to you. I just want y'all to get into it. That's all there is to it. But, yeah, so much. All this just to go back to that that funny car run from Bob Tasca 3. Just wow, so much wild shit happening all on the same night, and you get a chance to watch all of it. It's fucking nuts that we live in this world to where all of this is available, legally or illegally, for you to enjoy. Because, you know, 5 years ago, that wasn't the case. So,
yeah. And with that, let's get into some Daytona news. I guess first off, there was an announcement. What was it? Was it yesterday or this morning? I already forget. But in a follow-up to our conversation last week about music at the track.
Oh, it was today.
Creed will not only be performing at Daytona this weekend, but they'll also be just barely on Jimmy Johnson's car. In the 500, they announced some sort of partnership. I mean, this isn't Legacy's first deal with a band. You know, as we all know, they did a pretty cool Guns N' Roses car last year. Not really getting the same treatment by Creed.
No.
This is still a 99.8% Carvana scheme with, like, what, one little Creed sticker on it somewhere? Yeah,
they donated a contingency decal to go right behind the number, but still.
Yeah, they got it out of the 50 Cent machine. Yeah,
they really wanted that Deftones 8-Ball sticker, but they didn't get it. They got the Creed one again, but they got two of them, so they got on each side of the car. But yeah, it's a deal with Live Nation, which is the devil, but it is kind of, it's similar activation to what the JTG guys get out of Kroger. You'll see Velveeta or whatever smeared all over Ricky Stenhouse's car. Kind of the same thing. They'll pick a big tour they have coming up, which it's amazing that Creed's tour is worthy of any sort of sponsorship opportunity.
They're making some kind of weird comeback right now. So.
Yeah, they are.
Creed, I mean, not to get too into the weeds with music, but I mean, Creed had that weird breakup, and they did the Alter Bridge thing, and Scott Stapp was an alcoholic, and right now we're at that.
Wow, you know a lot more about Creed than I
again, my brain retains wacky shit, but like we're at this point of nostalgia in the music industry. I mean, it happens all the time, but now it's like these bands for the late 90s, early 2000s, they're coming back, they're touring again, they're maybe putting out new records, and like some of these bands, it's like, man, you guys fucking sucked 25 years ago. I don't really care now, but here they are. And Creed is one of those bands for me. Sorry, folks, not a butt rock guy. But hey, they're there. Good for them.
Not unless it gets you some sheet metal at a discounted price. You know what I'm saying?
No comment.
I'm just kidding. I have two things I want to say about this. And they kind of fold into each other here. One, it's a little weird for Creed to be on a Richard Petty throwback scheme.
Yes.
But two, I'm a little.
Well, what's weird about that? Just the fact that it's Creed on a Petty scheme, or like, is there some connection I'm missing?
No, it's just a tribute to Richard.
Yeah, and it's just a Creed logo slapped on it, which
and
is fine.
The 11th hour, they're slapping Creed in there,
which is fine. Yeah. It's a little. It's not like they took the whole hood or anything. It's respectful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away from the scheme. You know, it looks a little weird anyway, not being the 43, in my opinion. But you know,
I'm not into it. I mean, I don't. It's the one of the least recognizable Petty throwback cars I've ever seen.
That's
I think
true.
You'd have to tell me that to believe that.
But here's the second part is the bigger part of my problem with it is I hate that we're being denied an actual full wrap Creed design because the possibilities with this are fucking endless. You know, Scott Stapp on the hood with his shirt open and his little arms out flowing in the wind.
Jesus.
You know, human.
I got to Google real quick because I am pretty sure that there was a Creed car early in the 2000s during that like Budweiser
that
rock era.
That does sound familiar.
Like,
I think there was.
I'm looking at it right now.
Which, by the way, this is a nice thing to open up to the fans. If you remember any particular artists that had a sponsorship that you wouldn't expect, what was your favorite? I'd love to hear about it. My personal favorite was when Brooks and Dunn was on Sterling Marlin's car. That was fucking sick. It was the Coors Banquet, Brooks and Dunn, what is it, Pontiac? Where were they back then? I can't even fucking remember.
Who knows?
Dodge. It was a Dodge. I've got the diecast sitting right next to me here in the display case, and I bought it for $10 off of a gypsy tent at Loudoun, and it's my favorite thing in the world. And if the house burns down, I'm grabbing that as I run out the door.
So I haven't found a paint scheme of Creed in the 2000s, but I did find a picture of Scott Stapp from 2005 with Jamie McMurray at a race. So. There's that.
It all checks out.
Maybe maybe it was three doors down or something.
No, there 100% was a three doors car, a three doors door, yeah, three doors down car. There was a stained car. There were a bunch. Like I just can't. I just I could swear there was a Creed one, but maybe not.
There was a Megadeth car, too, for Junior Motorsports, if I remember correctly. And I think there was a Slayer car, too.
No, the Slayer was supposed car was... Yes, yeah, NASCAR canceled? Denied Slayer. Bullshit. That was... Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was going to be a Rick Ware car,
too. Suck! That sucks. we got denied the greatest t-shirts imaginable, and that'd be the only time that Rick Ware sold any merch, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us what your favorite band-related cars are, because I know... I'm forgetting about a bunch of them, and I'm sure some of you weirdos out there probably remember.
I'd like to hear about it. Right off the top of my head remembering like Tracy Lawrence sponsored a fucking car at one point. That's a weird one.
Waylon Jennings car back in the day.
That's true.
Yep.
I mean, the big one's obviously Marty Robbins. I remember you when this first came up. weren't you saying, Brian, that you would... just talked to somebody about how Marty Robbins was a badass, and it was like he had his own car and all that. And as soon as that happens, the Creed news drops.
Yeah, this morning, there's a music game that some of us play, and Marty Robbins was leading this particular round, and few people didn't know his history in NASCAR, and like Mike from First 7-Inch Club was mentioning, his Wikipedia was kind of bare, and I was like, I just immediately hit him with a bunch of facts, like, no, Marty was legit, so he was badass. But anyway, talking about that, then all of a sudden the Creed news dropped. So.
But hey, there is an open car with no driver in the Daytona 500 now, the 44, mm-hmm. So maybe Scott Stapp can take some of the whatever money's left from the Creed days and toss that in there, and he can miss the show. Who knows?
Greg Biffle was supposed to be in the New York racing car, number 44, I think.
Yep.
Apparently they haven't paid him. He said there's issues from 2022. Now, I thought he drove Floyd Mayweather's car. I know that's a different team, and Mayweather's team is supposedly moving into...
No, that was Kaz Grahl.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Greg was always with the 44 guys. I forget the team name right now. NY Racing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know who owns that or anything.
Like, no, I don't. I don't either. But definitely, it was. I always thought it was weird that he was doing that, since Greg is a pretty successful driver, and I think he kind of got a raw deal when he exited Roush. I don't think we really got to see. His full potential at the end of his career, because Greg never sucked.
No.
And so it was kind of interesting to see him come back with a complete startup team. So I was always very intrigued by what they had going on, and it seems like it's what usually happens back there at the back of the grid. So hopefully Greg gets his $65 check, and hopefully they can get somebody in that fucking car for Daytona.
We'll see. I mean, this is one of the few races where, like, we're going to see a couple cars go home. So, maybe this is just the first car to go home. Who knows?
Yeah. Someone's got to go home.
Yep. One person that won't be at home, though, is BJ McLeod. BJ and his social media team, they're kind of clever once in a while with some of the stuff they post, and especially when they're sponsored by, like, PB Blaster and some wacky sponsors they've had the last couple years. Yeah. And it was last week they put out a little teaser tweet saying announcement, driver announcement at 5:00. So, of course, logged right on to my Twitter machine at 5:00, and the driver announcement of BJ McLeod Motorsports, BJ McLeod.
Yeah.
Just perfect. Like, chef's kiss. Loved it.
And hopefully he uses some of that money to do some wind tunnel testing or something, because I'd like to see them. It's the Xfinity race, too, so they've actually had some decent
cup race, too.
He is, for sure. That announcement was for the Xfinity car, though. And, he has a pretty good shot of doing okay, I think, in that race, especially since he sold his charter for $65 billion or whatever it was to the Spire guys.
I am going to put just a quarter on BJ to place in the top five. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I feel like that could be a nice long shot. So
It never feels bad to bet on BJ McLeod. He's a good dude, and his team is awesome. Yeah.
I mean, we can't forget it was, what, 2-3 years ago that BJ ended up, like, earning a guy $1 million because he was the last leg of a parlay for a top 10. Like, that's a good omen as far as I'm concerned. Amen. BJ knows how to take care of his equipment till he needs to, so.
And like like I said, he's a cool dude too. I've never met him personally, but I know some friends of ours have dealt with him and his team, and nothing but shining reviews. I've run into him at the Walmart at Loudoun before, not BJ, but some of the team members and all that, and they were super nice and willing to chat, and just good people all around. So anytime BJ McLeod news drops, we're all excited for it, and hopefully he has a good showing here in Daytona coming up.
Yeah, I've met him. He lives up to the hype. I'm pretty sure, Ashley, you've met him too, right?
I met him a couple times. He's super nice.
So
he's one of the good guys.
There's a reason why we love him. So, continuing with a little bit of Daytona chatter. Well, not really so much. I guess this is more social media, but it's going into Daytona, so it's all one and the same. It was announced earlier this week, the top drivers' Instagram accounts, or excuse me, the drivers with the highest Instagram follower accounts in NASCAR. And there we go. I don't know what the fuck that first sentence was. I can't say I'm surprised that the first two were Tony Bredinger and Haley Deegan. I mean, no offense, folks, but it's got nothing to do with what they do on the track. Like, it's not just that they're attractive women, but they also have a lot of marketing dollars behind them. Like, both of them have been featured in, you know, nationally advertised ad campaigns on TV. Yep. Like, that Toyota commercial with Tony in it, that runs all year round. I've seen it all throughout the winter on different shit. Yeah. So, like,
and of course, Monster with Haley too, and Ford, they use her a lot.
Not to mention the fact that she's a Deegan kid, and, you know, Brian's had plenty of social media followers for a very long time, so there's really no shock to those two being up top. The rest of the list was all, I think, probably who you would expect, you know, Bubba, Chase, Blaney, those types of guys. But the one driver that I think some people were wondering why he wasn't on there was Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, and Frankie gets screwed again, man. Come on.
I guess my only thought is NASCAR's owns ARCA, but it's not technically ARCA. He hasn't even run his first NASCAR Xfinity race yet. He's going to be at Daytona this weekend, but maybe that was the qualifier. That could be my
guess. Frankie did run the full ARCA season last year, though, and Tony's in the same boat. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, but Tony also ran truck races. That's the thing.
Frankie's full time.
Was she Malcolm in the fucking middle? Come
what
on,
I'm
like,
saying is,
NASCAR
listen,
driver.
What I'm saying, ARCA technically, it's owned by NASCAR, but I don't know. It's not one of the top three series, I guess. That would be, I guess, the limit.
The
Once he's in
that list, to me, was John Hunter Nemechek making it.
That's a TikTok thing. That's
he's,
a TikTok
yep,
thing.
He's got
because,
quite the robust TikTok following. I don't know what TikTok. He does on there, if he's like putting on his nurse's outfit dancers? And dancing. Yeah, I don't really know what he does.
I don't have TikTok myself, but I do know that I think it's a lot of the clips from, like, pit stops and in-car shit that gets a lot of traction on TikTok for whatever reason. So I think he had a few that got, like, millions and millions of views. So that would be why.
Okay, well, that answers that.
Yeah, he's got Toyota behind him, too. I think they help him out a little bit. But, yeah, he's focused on social media a lot, which is very smart thing to do, especially in this world where digital media kind of brings in money. So I think, I think a lot of guys, I don't want to say they should become TikTok stars and focus on that shit necessarily, but
please don't. I don't want to download that app.
No, I don't either.
Enough of that stuff ends up on Instagram that, like, you don't really have to have TikTok,
Yeah, but I'm curious to see, like, how these sort of statistics drive what we see coming out of some drivers here. But, I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know. I was going to say I can't imagine Daniel Hamlin going out there and doing anything on the internet. But I don't know. All those guys are pretty cringy, so maybe they would. I don't know. It's going to be a weird few years coming up.
I mean, we all saw Kyle Busch's dance moves.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean.
So. I left that off the show list on purpose. Shaking his little.
Kyle's the most. He's got Samantha pushing him to do all that shit, so he's got to be the
creative
wife guy.
Director there.
Yeah.
I'm all set.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, some quick Kyle Busch news. 3Chi has announced that they are returning to the team.
Yep, the trifecta.
Yeah.
Weed, booze, and nicotine. He's
fucking
got it all.
Perfect.
They're shaking his little booty.
Yeah, driving a Chevrolet. Real men wear bow ties, motherfuckers. And It's really interesting to see Kyle Busch on TikTok or whatever it is, and then who his sponsors are, because I want Kyle to be what his sponsors indicate, but then you go look at his social media, and it's just a bunch of fucking, you know, white Van Heusen shirts buttoned halfway up and him shaking his ass in front of his wife. So
I would say that if you're a true Kyle Busch fan, what you got to do on race day is do your own version of a shotgun. Get your 3G vape. Get your zone in your lip there, and get yourself a shot of Rebel whiskey. That's the whiskey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, anytime, I don't know, I'm trying to think, whatever games you want to play, but like, do all three at once and then post it on social media. And I bet all those sponsors are going to love it. So that's what I suggest.
There you go.
Lawyers, guns, and money. But yeah, that was cool to see Kyle Busch's. Also, one thing that I meant to bring up last week when we were talking about the Clash, of course, there's all kinds of talk about it going to Mexico or wherever else. If it goes to Mexico, can Kyle Busch actually go down there and race? Because he's technically not allowed in the country because he's a felon. For those of you who might not remember this, he brought a firearm to Mexico and got busted in customs for it, which, you know, whatever. You know, I guess. He's one of Richard's guys now, so fits in with the to-do list. But yeah, that's a, when you have to pay your way out of Mexico, you generally don't get to go back, or if I were Kyle, I wouldn't. So I'm interested to see how this plays out.
I think that it's a little bit different if that shit happens on a family vacation, whereas if NASCAR is cooperating with the government, I'm sure they could probably figure it out.
So you can bring it to Puerto Vallarta, but when you're going to the Clash, leave the sidearm at home, folks.
Since you just mentioned something from last week's show, I want to bring up one quick thing that I also forgot to mention on last week's show, and that was part of the Netflix documentary. One of the silly questions that people outside of the NASCAR media world would tend to ask drivers: do you ever go to the bathroom in the car? Now, a lot of us know the Tony Stewart story, with him winning the race, shitting his pants at Watkins Glen.
Oh, boy, did he go to the bathroom in the car.
But that question was answered also on Netflix, because Tyler Reddick pissed himself while driving, I think it's Charlotte, I want to say. But yeah, that was he, in a white suit, nonetheless. Yeah, it was a very brief glimpse, but it happened. So there's your answer, folks. It does happen once in a while.
That's why he's not on the top 10 most followed drivers on Instagram.
He's followed by some other people that definitely
request all black suits.
Or at least the bottom anyway, like a pair of pants or something.
So final little thing I wanna talk about that I guess is topical. I know none of us are necessarily huge football fans, but at the same time, you can't really argue the cultural relevance of the Super Bowl. And obviously it went down this past weekend. I know Rob and I had a little bit of moral support for Kansas City just because it's Kenny Wallace's team. So
that's where it stops, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, good on them for that. But what I wanted to talk about was two things. One, regardless of what you think about the situation, it's undeniable that Taylor Swift dating a star football player brought more attention to football. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but if that sort of same situation happened to NASCAR, I'm not going to be one of those people that's gatekeeping. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that, because, I mean, I think it's silly how much hate she gets for it. I mean, she's one of the biggest pop stars in the world. It's just crazy that, like, fans get mad that she shows up and, like, gets attention when they only show her on screen a couple times here and there, but and it drives up ratings huge, which is more money for everybody and more people watching the games. So I mean, would you guys be okay with this? And if her next boyfriend's a NASCAR driver, who do you think it could be?
Oh fuck.
Well,
True Love, you go first.
For the boyfriend or how I feel about it? Both.
Either
both.
Or, A and B. Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
Well, I feel like the whole thing, there's been so many like wholesome stories that have come out of this, of like little girls getting into football and like sharing that experience with their dad. So if little girls want to get into NASCAR because Taylor Swift's there and sharing wholesome moments with her dad, I think that's great. And also Ryan Blaney, he's the only attractive one out in the field. So
damn.
He is the most attractive. Let me say that.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
In my opinion,
there's not all uggos out there. I mean,
well, I mean, the percentages lean to one side, but yeah.
So I guess I'll present sort of an alternative argument here. I have no problem with Taylor Swift doing whatever she wants to do. Who gives a shit? Of course, you can't expect a broadcast team to not notice that the biggest pop star in the world's hanging out and dating one of the players. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. I can completely understand, and this happens in NASCAR sometimes, not with like celebrities necessarily, but when the focus of what is a sport that people take very seriously is kind of taken away for like sort of a sideshow kind of thing, whether it's Taylor's doing or not. It isn't. She's dating somebody. It is what it is. But I think fans are right to feel a little bit annoyed. And again, I think a lot of it is also social media and the reaction outside of the NFL that people are getting upset with. It's not the NFL being like, Super Bowl's coming out. Taylor Swift's going to fucking be there. They're not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can understand like, not if she was at the Daytona 500 and all anyone is talking about is Taylor Swift being at the Daytona 500 and not the race. Like, as a diehard fan, I can see that being fucking annoying. Really, I can. And it would be Denny Hamlin, just for comedy purposes.
All right, so, I mean, I like I said, don't care. I'm with True Love, where if it's something that gets, you know, young girls involved and it's something that overall brings more of a positive effect to the sport than a negative.
Well, to be clear, I'm with you guys on that too. I 100% agree with that. But just I can see why people have been annoyed. It's not the broadcast partner's fault. It's not the NFL's fault. It's social media being social media, and just turn it off. You know?
Yeah. Like, as far as who it would be, I mean, I think a lot of people's first thought is probably Chase Elliott, just because of him being kind of eligible bachelor and the star of the sport. But I think if you know Chase's personality, like, I don't think he's going to want to be with someone who's going to get him so much attention. No, so
he's so private.
I'm going to say Alex Bowman would be the one, because he's another bachelor out there, I believe. And I think it'd be him. Yeah. Somehow he could. Hey, I bet he'd be psyched to pull that off too, but you know.
He would.
but yeah. And but the other thing I wanted to talk about with the Super Bowl is not so much the football or anything. I don't really watch football, and I don't really care so much about the Super Bowl. Generally, I usually will check in every year just to see what's going on. But I just happened the night before the game to catch this little mini documentary on Nickelodeon's coverage of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And I found it really intriguing. So when I found out the Super Bowl was going to be on Nickelodeon, I tuned in for that. And another thing, kind of like, you know, Taylor getting little girls to tune into football, I thought it was neat how, I mean, the broadcasters themselves, they did a good job of actually doing what they needed to do with play-by-play, but they had SpongeBob and Squidward, I guess. I'm not a SpongeBob guy, but they had those voice actors doing the whole fucking game, which is, A, an insane talent to have as a voice actor.
Oh, God, right? Yeah.
But, B, like, just, like, gets kids engaged, and there were little inset videos explaining rules of the game and what was going on in the field, and, you know, slime shooting around, that type of shit. But you know, you could watch that game as an adult. Again, as someone who doesn't care about football, I wanted to see how they presented it, and I thought it was great. And I think it'd be really neat to see a NASCAR race, or any race really, but I mean realistically it'd be NASCAR. Right. It'd be really neat to see it presented that way, especially when, you know, again, Fox and some of the other broadcast teams can have some kind of iffy, boring coverage at times. Like, it'd be neat to see it through that lens. And I don't know if you guys caught any of that stuff, but
I didn't see the Super Bowl broadcast, but I watched the first time they did that. It was a Saints game. I think it was like a playoff game a few years ago,
something like that. Yeah.
And it was awesome. The coverage was great. And it was, you know, not something I would normally watch, but it was entertaining as hell, because I think the Saints game was blacked out otherwise up here. Mm-hmm. So I was forced to watch it. But it was cool. If I was a little kid, I'd want to see that. And I don't think there's any excuse other than budgetary restrictions, which, I mean, let's be honest, we're talking about Fox and NBC here. So fuck you. We live in a world where you can have multiple versions of something to cater to different audiences. And if there needs to be a children's NASCAR broadcast a few times a year, or something that's a little bit more, you know, not for the fans on, you know, Peacock or whatever it is, then so be it. I don't see why you wouldn't chase those avenues, because it duly maintains the integrity of the sport, but also and gets the diehard fans something that they want to watch, have the serious coverage on one network, and then give somebody else an in somewhere else. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't focus on something like that. And the NFL has gotten it right with this Nickelodeon thing, and I don't see why NASCAR or any other motorsport wouldn't try and do the same thing.
Yeah, you really bring up a good point with that whole different audiences deal, because with NASCAR, it's like it's so difficult to get newer fans to get into the sport, especially with some of the TV coverage. Whereas if you can present it in a way where A, us diehards, we have our stream, and then B, you can send fans who don't know what the hell they're watching, whether it be kids, adults, whoever, send them over this other stream.
And they've done it before. They've done this before. Well, at Homestead, I don't know if they still do this, but when the championship race was at Homestead, NBC would do a separate broadcast that just focused on the championship four. Completely different team. I want to say Dale Jarrett was the lead or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it went down, but they have done this before. So there's no reason why you wouldn't be able to do this again other than not wanting to spend the money on it. But I don't know. I think there's no reason to not try and, you know, I don't think you have to take the one thing that you have, your one broadcast, and try and, like, reach everybody when you have the ability to actually branch out and try and reach other audiences through the magic of streaming. If Flow Racing can put on 6 fucking events with minimal issues, you know, discarding the other night... But they're doing it again this week. There's like 4 races on tonight, and there'll probably be no issues. If they can do it on a budget, then I think NBC and Fox and these major networks can also do the same thing and not piss anybody off while doing it. So that's all.
I mean, we all three started watching NASCAR as kids, and I was obsessed with Nickelodeon as a kid. So if Nickelodeon had covered a NASCAR race,
can you fucking imagine that?
Oh, yeah.
My mind.
Imagine that. Yeah. And now we have the technology and the bandwidth to do it. So, I hope somebody down in Charlotte is paying attention to that.
I think that kind of wraps up the news portion of the show. We already kind of covered a lot of the septic tank stuff, but Rob, what stuff did you miss from the lineup that we didn't talk about?
We didn't really talk about a lot of it. One sad thing coming out of this week, this is apparently the... it's been announced this is the closing of East Bay Speedway this week. They're not going to be coming back. I've heard some rumors that it might actually still be around for years to come.
That's what I heard, too.
But again, as of right now, from what we know officially, this is the last official racing weekend down there. It's such a bummer. The World of Outlaws just wrapped up. The Lucas Oil late models just wrapped up. By the way, Dalton Wilson finally getting a fucking win at East Bay, or in general. He's been finishing second for like the past year or so. Always the bridesmaid, and everyone was really excited to see him win the other night, the final night of Lucas Oil competition at East Bay. So hell of a way to go out. And if it is, in fact, the closing of this racetrack, it'll be very sad. Definitely an old, kind of busted-up facility, but the racing is always most excellent. And you hate to see a racetrack close, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, congrats to Dalton Wilson for going out there and getting a big win. A lot of people wanted to see that, myself included, even if it was at the expense of Tyler Erb, who just always finds a way to take himself out of contention. Not entirely true. He's won a few times this week, but he's, it happens that way often. So Tyler needs to... just give me a call. We'll talk it out, buddy. Call Bubba the Love Sponge and talk it out. And I think the other really big piece here, which will lead into our Dart for the Week section, of course, the High Limit Series making its debut as a national sprint car touring series, the alternative to the World of Outlaws. Of course, they have a giant list of full-time drivers. I think there's like 17 guys chasing the championship, whereas the World of Outlaws only have like 9 or something like that. The racing so far has looked just like last year, since everyone's already down in Florida and there's no real restrictions on outsiders coming in to run outlaw events. So all the outlaw stuff at Volusia looked the same. Brad Sweet coming out and winning the first outlaw race of the year. That was definitely kind of funny. And this leads us to our DAR for the week. And his name is, there's so much of this to go through. I don't even know where to start with this.
It was a lot. It was really long.
It's called What's Understeer on Twitter, or X, whatever you prefer to call that. He had a take on High Limit that kind of turned us on to some other wild shit he said, which I guess we'll get into. But he says, was afraid this was going to happen. This was last week before they even turned a lap down at East Bay. Was afraid this was going to happen. High Limit starts a sprint car series, and then mainstream media begins to follow dirt racing. Can't wait until High Limit gets ripped and criticized under a microscope. Just wait. I've seen this before. And this was in response to a Bob Pockrass tweet about him being at the racetrack. And Bob goes to all these places. He's down there
literally
for like a month.
His job.
It's what he's paid to do. And just the idea that High Limit is this NASCAR of dirt racing is so fucking stupid. Though he might be onto something because, of course, High Limit kicked off their inaugural season as a full-time 410 sprint car series. And night one got rained out. So they're, maybe he's onto something here with the NASCAR comparison. Because that sucked. But they're running, as we speak, I'm recording this episode and talking about it and watching them rip hot laps for, I think, night two. And they're going to run the features after they wrap up tonight for the whatever the big race here is. But, yeah, it's a cool series. Lots of big drivers. It's a little different from a regular sprint car series. Lots of there's a stupid gambling element to it where guys roll dice for, like, redraws and shit like that. So it's kind of fun. But the quality of racing is fucking excellent. And I recommend, again, if you want that link, hit us up, and you'll be able to watch some sprint car racing tonight.
Yep. All right, so...
Oh, what, do you want to talk about the other shit this guy said? Or do you want to leave that be?
No, go for it.
This was the part that hurt my brain.
Yeah, he's convinced that last season was rigged for Ryan Blaney to win the championship for Netflix.
Oh, yeah. This guy's fucking insane. Just
he's
truly
been drinking
insane.
So much fucking conspiracy Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I won't even read. We'll probably post it because I don't want to read all this, but it's fucking wild.
There's about 16 different points he makes as to how the playoffs are rigged. So,
yeah, but so is the NFL,
just
apparently.
A hater.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's lost some money on Blaney winning.
Yeah, he's my DAR for the week. My sentence for him is to, they have these sleeping pods at airports now. You ever seen these things? I'm gonna make him swipe his own Visa card and sit in one of those for 30 minutes and just be in silence for a little bit before he emerges back into the hellscape that is whatever airport's closest to him. But he's my DAR for the week. Just chill out, bro.
Very well earned.
Very well earned.
Yeah, calm the fuck down.
And that's just for the sprint car shit. I haven't even figured out what to do for the NASCAR stuff just yet, but we'll get there. I'm sure there'll be more as the year continues. So.
You should keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah.
The NSA.
So the video of the week this week, we went with a nice classic short video to keep us in the spirit of Daytona. I found this little video called The Daytona Experience with Davey Allison, and it was basically it's a 20-minute documentary that basically it his whole week and a half in Daytona.
It washes our hands of last week.
Yeah, and it's a nice palate cleanser from last week. And this, I can't tell exactly, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was ESPN, especially based on the fonts they use for the graphics. Like, that looks almost identical to ESPN's fonts that they used in the 90s. So that's who I'm thinking produces, but I don't know exactly. There are some commercial breaks, and being that it's only 20 minutes, that makes sense to me. But I would say this video... if you remember the little Bill Elliott documentary that we watched last year, it is in that vein, but two main points to take away from it. The tone is, or I shouldn't say this, the editing itself is much peppier. It's much more like lighthearted. And the team itself, it compared to where Bill's team was in 94, I mean, that documentary was filmed at the very end of Bill's time at Junior Johnson and almost the end of Junior Johnson's Cup career because yeah. I think it was in the next couple years he ended up selling the team and that was it. And, you know, 95, Bill went to – no, it was 94, Bill went to – no, fuck. What the hell year did he drive the 94 car, Ashley?
It was 94.
Was it 94?
That was Jimmy Spencer. I'm sorry. That was later on.
No. Yeah, that's right. But Bill, what was Bill Elliott driving? Because there was a McDonald's car for Jimmy Spencer between Bill in the 11 and... or no, did he... Ashley, again, Elliott
I'm
fan.
Terrible
where was
with
Bill
dates.
Elliott driving in the...
I don't know what today's date is.
Fuck's sake. Okay.
Well, Jimmy Spencer won in 90. It was 95 when he went over and drove the 94 with the McDonald's sponsorship and all that. Because I remember getting diecast with the 94 on it from McDonald's. I think it was 95 when that happened. But yeah, 94 is when Jimmy Spencer won all the races at Talladega.
Yeah, but Bill was still in the 11, like the 11 car and the 27 car with the teams. Yep. And now, right, once in 95, the 11 team was the Lowe's team, and that's what Junior sold.
That's right.
But my point being that documentary was at the end of Bill's, pretty much at the end of Bill's time at Junior Johnson. The team itself was not in super high spirits, whereas in 92, at the beginning of the season, you know, Robert Yates Racing is fucking ready to go. The team is so pumped to be there. You know, unfortunately, due to Davey's death, this ended up being that team's most successful year. And to compare it, for those fans who weren't fans then, to compare Davey's 92 season, it was sort of in the vein of Kyle Larson's season last year, where it was a lot of checkers or wreckers type deals. Unfortunately, the only thing is Davey got hurt quite a bit, whereas Larson was pretty healthy all last year. So
yeah, Davey got fucked up a few times.
Yeah, and I would say even this week that we see here in this video is almost a little microcosm of that, because, you know, obviously Davey has he wins the race at the very end, but you know, he shows up, does okay in the clash, you know, ends up losing the car in qualifying or practice and having to go to a backup car.
Probably had a concussion, but we didn't know what those were back in the 90s, so it's all good.
He seemed okay. That wasn't that bad of a wreck, and he seemed to be okay afterwards. Like, there's video of him and Brett Bodine talking, which we'll get into, that he seemed okay, but again, just much different tone than that Bill Elliott video. This is just a really fun watch overall.
Anytime you get to see a young blonde Larry McReynolds in there
wearing a gold chain.
Yeah, it's great.
Even old Davey footage. I mean, I don't know where you guys are at, but I mean, I really got into NASCAR right after Davey's passing. And, you know, in those days, it wasn't like you'd get to see a lot of older footage. So I saw very little Davey Allison video up until the internet era, where now all this stuff you can go back and watch. And one of the biggest takeaways for me throughout this entire video is just how like much of a star he was, and how personable and how likable, and how he seemed to really appreciate his team and fans and just everyone around him. And, like, you know, it's one of those things that you read as a kid, but now going back and seeing how he actually was in the flesh, like, it's seemed like he lived up to all that. And you know, it just makes his death.
Yeah, Davey was the whole reason I got into NASCAR.
Same.
Like, I got into NASCAR because my dad watched it, but if it hadn't been for Davey Allison, I wouldn't have latched on to it like I did, because I was so drawn to him and his personality. Mm-hmm. So,
and just that car,
if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be as diehard as I am.
One thing this is sort of related to the video, but sort of not, it's more of a general thing. My takeaway from all this was, again, this was the era that hooked me, and Davey was the guy who got me obsessed with this. And a large part of that was the paint job. And the only reason I say this is because I want NASCAR teams to really think about this as they go forward. Maybe have something a little more consistent, because you want to get a younger audience. That sort of thing, design, really sticks out, because when I saw that 28 car in track, I knew that was my guy. And then I figured out who he was. And I can't explain it. I just knew immediately when I saw that 28 out there, like, that's the coolest looking fucking car out there.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. I mean, I thought my family was kind of an Earnhardt and Petty family, but I liked that 28 car. It was almost not the antithesis of the three, but I mean, it was very clearly a competitor, and it was up there with the car. Going back to that recognition thing you just mentioned, I mean, it's very tough to do that in these days, because a lot of the sponsors aren't on the car all season long. And B, like, there's even just individual sponsors themselves are always changing branding and doing special schemes and that type of shit. But
different world for sure. But yeah, that was
for sure.
That was something I took away from that. But also, he looked like one of my uncles, which I thought was cool. Not one of them in particular, but just like in general, young guy with the mustache, you know, the southern drawl. I was like, this is my 100%. Guy right here. You know,
one. But another thing, real quick about the paint scheme thing, and this almost could be a Darf of the Week follow up. There was somebody on Twitter this weekend that when it was the five Hendrick cars paint scheme was announced.
That's why I brought this up.
Was like, every year the paint scheme is the same. Well, yeah, dumbass, that's what Rick wants.
Well,
and
they
it was
locked
also
it in
like,
for like to, through 2030, which I think is awesome. And I don't like Joey Logano, but when you see that Pennzoil 22 out there, you know who the fuck that is.
Yeah. I had read something a couple years ago. It was talking about like kids' favorite drivers in NASCAR, and like Chase Elliott and Joey Logano were at the top of that list just because those are the most consistent cars
that's,
kids are drawn to, and bright colors. And
that's why I bought my little buddy Remy, my little friend, the Chase Elliott diecast, because I knew he would see it on TV the most.
It was one of the things that drew me to Ernie Irvin when he was in the Kodak car, for sure. I mean, I loved that car.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But real quick with that, let me just finish up the Larson point. So, one, that was Ricky Hendrick's scheme, so that's why that's never changing.
That is the Hendrick scheme, pretty much.
And two, the fan that called it out, right up in the bio, 16, autistic. Okay, I don't need to, you don't need to call this guy out anymore. Let's just let him be. He does not get it, but that's fine. But anyways, back to the video. Yes, the recognizable paint scheme.
Now that we all feel like assholes.
You know, like I said, Davey was excited to be here. You know, you see different members of the Alabama gang talking about Davey and talking about Daytona. There's Joe Gibbs, his first year there as a car owner. The Clash is the first thing they end up talking about, and much like was spoken about last weekend, they straight up say, like, we're using the Clash as our test session for next weekend, which isn't possible anymore. You know, not only is there no testing whatsoever, there's no practice. It's just get on the track and qualify, but that's, we'll get to
it,
that.
It was weird to see the Clash in the daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it was only 4 or 5 years ago. It was probably the last time they ran in the daytime. I'm thinking it was that one crash fest where like Denny ended up winning, or whoever won had a wrecked car. I think that was the last time it ran during the day, I want to say.
There's also a quick clip of Ryan Pemberton, who I recently passed away too.
That's right.
Okay, so that's the Clash thing. There's some Hevlin commercials, which are you know, I like old racing commercials. Last year, Davey had the pole for this race. He wasn't quite as fast this year. And again, we talked about how just the Davey footage itself really showing his personality was just so cool. Because this was kind of documentary footage, and I'm sure they didn't want to pay any licensing, even though, you know, I'm trying to think of who. It was a CBS race. I don't know who would have shown all the pre-race stuff, but they had Ralph Shaheen doing all the voiceovers for this rather than using actual audio from the racing. There was kind of a, what I thought was reminiscent to the Days of Thunder shot of Harry talking to the car and the team working on the car in the barn, them moving around a motor in the garage. I just thought that a nice flashback to that. We get a shot of Liz Allison talking about how, you know, they've been in Daytona for a week and a half before the race, and I've seen Davey for about 4 hours.
Visibly
the whole time.
Not thrilled with that.
Yeah, she was not thrilled. And they show a clip of Davey bowling, and then there's another later on in that clip. She goes, you know, it's fun, and she kind of trails off and looks to the side, and then immediately cut to a clip of Davey with some young girl taking a photo.
Yeah, so, it kind of ties into the whole Joe Diffie thing, if my more in tune fans know what that's all about.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Something women like about a pickup man, you know what I'm saying?
And now we get to the crash in practice. Now, I swear that I don't know if it was the Scene Vault or another podcast, but it was talked about how, and maybe I'm getting the race mixed up. Maybe it wasn't this race, but I know that there was a race where Junior Johnson loaned their backup car to Yates, and that ended up being a car that won a race. I don't know if it was this one, and I couldn't figure out exactly where, but there was at one point in time where Davey wrecked a car, Junior Johnson gave them the backup car, and they ended up winning with it. And I couldn't confirm it was Daytona where this happened, but that was the first thing
I thought
of.
They had that thing right off the trailer in practice and got it back out, so it wasn't this time. I can't remember what race that was, but that definitely happened.
It definitely happened, yeah. And there was a this is where I mentioned before, like after that wreck, they show Brett Bodine and Davey talking in the garage, and I just thought it was a neat moment to capture because neither one of them are pissed. Davey's more just confused as to what happened, and he and Brett are going over it, and Brett being the second most likable Bodine, I don't mind seeing him on TV at any point.
Who's number one?
Oh, Todd, obviously. Oh, Todd okay. is the most likable. And Brett's only a hair behind. Jeff is just the fucking weird one. Like, yeah, the other two Bodines are fine.
Yeah, he's a weird guy.
Yeah. And then there was a statement from Robert, which I found kind of prophetic, especially going into this season. You know, they had some issues last year and it had to quickly get the car back up to speed to get on the track, and what Robert said was, we're not so much used to it, but we're prepared for it, and they really needed to be prepared for it throughout the season because, you know, they went through a lot of shit, even though it started out great. Again, going from a backup car to 2 days later winning the race, like, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, for all of our newer fans, the 92 season was one of the greatest championship battles ever witnessed in NASCAR, so there's plenty of documentaries about that. We need to talk about it, but yeah, this is the beginning of a sort of a preamble to a wild year, and really why Davey Allison is a fucking hero of mine.
In the end of the video, I mean, they don't get too deep into what happens. You know, Liz talks about Davey not sleeping the night before and getting prepared and all that, and everybody's ready to go. Davey ends up winning the race, and there's a nice little montage of post-race footage set to a Randy Newman song.
So, always Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Always.
But just a cool video. Like I said, I wanted something a little more lighthearted and not quite as polarizing as last week's video, and I figured we all love Davey and we all are ready for the 500, so I figured everybody would enjoy this. So if you guys have any thoughts, go for it.
Yeah, I love this one. Anytime I get to see any Davey footage makes me happy, but there was also a lot of footage I'd never scene of him, and even if they were just like quick clips of him like bowling or eating dessert or, you know, fishing.
Making jokes.
And,
yep.
Yeah. So
I thought it was funny. It was yet another Daytona video involving Lake Lloyd. He's out there, you know, dropping a line out there in a boat, and it turns out he's in the middle of the fucking lake in Daytona, which of course he is. I guess there's fish out there, so people catch him. So that was cool.
Yeah. Before we get into the Daytona preview, for next week's show, you know, NASCAR is going to be in Atlanta, and I got two videos. I know I mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I mentioned looking for some fan cam footage.
Oh, real quick, I just got to say, it's wild to say that we're going to be in Atlanta next time we record. The season's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
I was looking for different Atlanta videos, and I finally found a little fan cam clip. It was only actually uploaded 2 weeks ago, coincidentally enough. But so there are two videos here. One is about 13 minutes of fan cam footage of ARCA and a little bit of Cup stuff in pit row. And then the other video is only a minute long, and it's I'm going to leave it to the imagination unless you look at the playlist, but it was just titled Atlanta Motor Speedway Knockout. And we'll talk about it next week.
Oh,
so,
dude, I
already have visions.
So I've got the High Limit race on right now. They're about to run the A feature that got rained out last night. They got dumped on in Florida, and it completely flooded out East Bay. This track is wet as fuck. And as I'm talking about a Lake Lloyd montage in Daytona, as they always do, they literally have the Flow Racing pit reporter standing in a knee-deep puddle off turn one right now.
So are they actually running right now, though, or no?
They're about to start the feature, so okay. We'll talk about that next week, obviously. But yeah, he's just standing in a big pile of mud water off turn one right now, as I was talking about Lake Lloyd. So maybe this guy has something, our DAR for the week. Maybe he knows something about the NASCAR thing. Jesus, this is something.
But anyways, we are in Daytona this weekend, so I guess, what do we want to talk about? Predictions? What we hope to see? Like, where do we want to begin with this stuff?
Well, DJ Khaled is waving the green flag, so that's something. That's cool. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe in us, God did.
Is The Rock going to be there?
Yes, The Rock is going to be there.
I think The Rock is going to be there doing something.
He's giving the command. He's the Grand Marshal, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, that's it. That's something like that. Well, The Rock, not to get into wrestling talk, but The Rock has been very controversial this last few weeks.
A bad boy now, huh? He's a bad guy.
Yeah. I don't want him to be president anymore. Let's just say that. That's all we need. I don't want to talk about wrestling other than that, but I don't want to be president anymore. And yeah, we mentioned Creed's gonna be there. I doubt we'll get to see that on TV, thankfully. Oh, I don't know who's singing the national anthem, but
it's The Rock.
Whatever. Yeah, the rock singing it. Trucks. Arca, I guess. I mean, maybe Frankie will get his first win in Arca. That'd be a great warm up for his Xfinity start.
I don't give a fuck. I'll watch it because it's funny, but I'm excited to watch Justin Bonsignor out there in his first big show in a giant NASCAR series. Not that the modified tour doesn't matter. It certainly does. But to watch him sort of take a step towards the big world is pretty cool because he's super fucking talented. And I'm excited to see that. So that's why I'll be tuning in to the ARCA races to watch Justin go out there and represent New England. Mm-hmm. And NDJ will be out there too, I assume, so that's always cool.
And the crashes are always funny because there's always just total fucking chaos.
No breaks.
And it ends up six cars ending up finishing the race. So ARCA is, what day is ARCA? Thursday? Friday? I don't fucking know.
Saturday
during the day?
Xfinity race, yeah.
Okay.
1:30.
So we got qualifying tomorrow.
Ballsy of them to put that before a big race that to fix the fence. Yeah.
That Xfinity race is going to end up being a night race.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Qualifying, I mean, again, we don't know shit about who's going to be fast because there's nothing happening until the cars hit the track Wednesday.
I would expect another Alex
Hendrick
Bowman
pole. Yeah, with the pole.
Yeah, Hendrick, I mean, I wonder what the...
Gotta get Taylor Swift's attention.
That's right. How's it going to happen if not there?
Yeah.
I wonder what the count for Hendrick poles over the last 30 years is. I'm sure it's got to be up close to 15, 20, you would think, right? Yeah.
Well, they never really do all that well in the race. They always put it right at the top of the board in qualifying.
At least not since Johnson last
won. 10 years.
No.
So.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to win the 500 either, but we're not quite there yet, I don't think, in this discussion. I have some picks.
So, yeah, that'll be Wednesday. Thursday, the duels. Again, won't know shit until the cars are on the track. We'll see a little bit as to how people will race and stuff, but it's kind of just going to be more guys feeling their cars out, and maybe there'll be a wreck. You know, there will be a couple guys that need to race their way in, but, you know, it'll be the duels. It'll be cool. The trucks, I don't really have any insight in the trucks. I definitely, while I'll be watching, I don't follow the series that closely as far as like who's going to be the one to watch. I don't even remember who the hell won last year. I feel like it was kind of a surprise.
I've kind of lost me a little bit in the truck series.
There's been so much like moving parts and like news over the off season. I can't keep up with who's where, what.
You can't just pick Austin Hill anymore because it isn't race trucks anymore, which is what I would have done if it was 2 years ago. But
well, now you pick him for Xfinity. So
that's true. Yeah.
You know.
That was gonna be my pick.
That was. I think that's just about everybody's pick. So. You know. Lazy wouldn't be picks. Shocked to see him. I would love to see Sheldon Creed go and fucking win, though. I will say that straight up. But
amen.
You know, that's about all I have to say about Xfinity. I mean, Xfinity will probably be. I mean, the better race of the weekend. Xfinity usually is, but
huge car count for that race too. So a lot of guys will be going home for that. Unfortunately, they don't have a dual set up like the Cup Series does. It'd be fun to see that, but I understand why they don't, because you can only. You know, fix the fence.
ARCA's taking up so much time.
Yeah.
Larson out to an early lead here, just for those listening at home who aren't watching racing like we
are. Tanner Thorson out there, too, doing a nice little job. Uh-oh. Who's this? One of the NASCARs went around. We can't just talk about racing. We're watching.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We gotta finish. We're heading the home stretch this episode.
Let's wrap this up.
Turn on flow, everybody.
Yeah. Austin Hill is our win, is our pick. We don't have a pick for, so we don't. We got Frankie Muniz winning ARCA, or Justin Bonsignor. Those are our two picks for ARCA. Yep. It's a wash for trucks. It's Austin Hill for Xfinity.
Gross.
Yeah. Oh, it was Greg Van Alst that won last year. at the ARCA race. And that was a cool thing to watch because he was, I think we lost Brian. But, you know, he's a true underdog guy, and he kind of got some opportunities out of that ARCA race that didn't really pan out all that well for him. And, you know, he's one of these classic journeyman guys that just doesn't have the funding. But it was awesome to see him win last year. That was life-changing for him, no doubt, at least at that moment anyway. So it was cool to see one of the underdogs get it. So just to shout him out real quick. But, yeah, huge car counts for all these races. It's going to be awesome. There's guys going home in all of them. Very healthy look for NASCAR right now. And we have totally lost Bram.
Oh.
The internet in Ohio, the cable got cut.
His bootleg stream and it booted him.
Yeah, Flo heard what he was doing.
The Flo feed cut my internet off.
Exactly.
Quick, so.
Yeah.
Where was I? What was I saying?
I think we're about to talk about Cup.
Oh yes. Okay. So I didn't even get to my rant. So I'm going with one of three drivers: Bubba, Blaney, or Brad. I put the majority of my money on Bubba already. As soon as the odds were announced, and Bubba's odds were pretty high paying, knowing how well he does at Daytona,
yep.
I put $5 in him immediately. That'll get me a good payout if he wins. But I want to see one of those three guys win. I'm fans of all three of them. I think it would be feather in any of their caps. Aside from being a fan of Bubba and winning the most money with Bubba, it would be a great start to the season to just piss off all those dumb old racist fucks to see Bubba win, finally. So, by all means, he's my top pick, but one of those three guys who I want to win.
Yeah. I also got Blaney as my pick. Bubba's always in the mix, so I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but I think Blaney's so good at these plate tracks, or whatever we call them now. Super speedways, and I think coming off a championship, I think he's got a nice little... a good head about him, and I think Penske always does well, and Ford in general always manages to orchestrate those races in a way that works best for them. So I wouldn't be surprised, as long as he stays out of trouble, which is always the big caveat with Daytona. I got my money on Ryan Blaney for this one. It'll be interesting to see how the Toyota guys play, since they have three extra pieces in the mix now. Of course, Legacy is a Toyota team now. Jimmy Johnson's pretty good at plate racing. He's won the Daytona 500 before, and the other guys they have in the team aren't shit either. So they are not shitty. They ain't shit. But still, like, Toyota's big Achilles heel bit has been the fact that they just don't have that many cars. But now they've got three extra. They can kind of play some of the same games that Chevy and Ford do to get themselves set up. So I'm really curious to see how that turns out. But, you know, Daytona's always a crapshoot, man. I'm excited to see. I'm hoping that Kyle Larson doesn't go fucking firewall deep into the fence like he usually does. But I will be
barrels at Daytona.
If there are, he'll find them.
Well, I mean, he was the one who cut the hole in the catch fence a decade ago.
He was. He's never been good there. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows. He straight admits, like, he's always dog shit
hates
there.
It.
So.
But my money, my personal money, my heart money is on Ryan Preece. He's another guy who's always in the mix at those races.
He needs a little Daytona redemption.
He does.
Yeah.
And I would love to. He always gets up into some shit too. And but he's always pretty close to being up front, so I'll be very excited to see him do well, and I expect him to do well. Hopefully the racing gods have a top five in his future. But also David Ragan is out there too, so I got to put a little love there. But yeah, Ryan Preece is who I'm spiritually following this weekend, but I'd be shocked to see just stats alone. Like, Ryan Blaney is the guy.
Yeah. Did you give your pick Ashley or no?
No, I haven't really put any thought into it. I mean,
it's so hard.
It's truly such a fucking crapshoot. Obviously, I'm pulling for Elliot. He needs a little kickstart to his redemption tour this year. And I also would not be mad at all to see Bubba finally get a win at Daytona. So,
yeah. How many second places does he have now? It's two or three, right?
Bubba is 2 in the 500.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's such a crapshoot. Who fucking knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm just happy it's back. Happy to be here.
Yeah, of course, rain in the forecast, so that'll be something to complain about. We'll be watching that on Monday afternoon on our phones.
Yeah. We'll supposed to see rain on Monday, too, so it might be a nice little Tuesday while we're recording.
We could do a live show. I can figure that shit out.
Hey, there we go.
That's not a bad idea. I'll Google it. How's that sound?
Did Brian quit the show over that?
Yeah.
He's I'm here.
He's like, my internet will not handle a live
I'm right
show.
Here.
But yeah, Daytona's always so fun. Again, there's all this racing happening in Florida right now, the World Series at New Smyrna, all the dirt stuff, Volusia, East Bay, all that. And it's just to cap it off with, you know, the greatest race, you know, is always fun. Even though, you know, I do like plate racing. I know a lot of people don't, but it's always, it's such an event and it's such an important piece of motorsports history, no matter how it's being run. It's a nice little cap after 3 weeks of just obsessively watching shit. So take a couple days off after that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I guess that pretty much wraps it up, folks. I mean, obviously we'll all be watching all weekend. I'm sure we'll be posting stuff on the Instagram. Rob will have some reports, some scooters, and
yeah,
maybe I'll post up some commentary or something, and then I'll definitely post up Ashley's clip as soon as I see that on,
that's right.
On TV.
Actually, so, Trulo's my Daytona 500 pick.
Unless it's all so bad that it all ends up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. The worst it'll be is that they'll just show a photo of you. That's it. Like a still photo, you know?
Yeah. Which is a possibility. I'll be sure to tell you all about that experience next week.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. We will be getting a full report. Absolutely. But with that... that will end our trip to Applebee's this week. As always, you can follow us at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram and Meet Me at the Bees on Twitter. I am Speedway Screens on all the things, speedwaytsj.etsy.com. I will be running probably a 20% off sale all weekend, so check that out if you want to save a few bucks. Ashley, Miss, what's your name again, Ashley? Forgot. What is it?
Ashley, Snake Mountain True Love _ Fox Sports NASCAR is the new name.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Rob.
No problem. Anything I can do to help.
Yep. So maybe I'll be posting some stuff there if they'll allow me to take my phone inside.
Yeah, that's a good point. You and Jamie McMurray sitting there talking about whatever on that giant sound stage with all the digital cars around you.
Oh, I would fucking love that. I'd be so stoked to hang out with Jamie Mac.
Hell yeah. These Wild Plains is my band. We just announced a bunch of tour dates. I won't go through all the dates again until it's a little closer. In March, we're coming down south with Charlie Marie, as I said last week. Great country singer. She just filmed a Western as Fuck video, which is pretty cool if you guys know what that is. Charlie,
I did see a little clip of that.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie and our guitar player Nick went out there and filmed something out in Wyoming, and I cannot wait to see this. Again, she's one of the most talented people I've ever had the pleasure of playing with and sharing a stage with, so really excited for you guys to get to see her in that stripped down element. And then if you want to see us rock and roll too, you'll be able to do that in March. And again, those dates are all at thesewildplains.com or on our Instagram, or if you want to talk to me, robmoats_unofficial is my Instagram handle. I don't do anything else. No Twitter.
Yeah, it's you don't want to be on there anyways.
Nah, it's successful.
Yep. All right, folks. Thank you again for joining us at Applebee's, and we will talk to y'all next week.